probably the best definition of counsel is 1 Samuel chapter 9, and look at verse 6. And he said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure. And here's the definition of counsel. He can show us our way that we should go. I can get advice from anybody, but when you get counsel, you get guidance and direction for your life. In other words, these are what we would call big decisions. I think it's very wise to get counsel, godly counsel, on if somebody's not married. I would say marriage is a pretty big step, and I wouldn't go into it without someone who is godly helping. Big financial decisions. If you're purchasing your first home and you've never spent that much money before, you need to talk to somebody other than the banker who wants your money. They make money if you go in debt. So you need somebody to talk to that loves you and loves the Lord, that's not interested in your money and can pray with you about it and doesn't have anything to gain from it. Advice is one thing. I can ask a lost man how to build something on my house. What's the best way to mix this for laying block? But I don't want to get advice for my life. That's where God starts talking about counsel. Now that we've seen what counsel is, and you'll hear me refer to it, it's guidance and direction for your life. Life's decisions. Go to Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 28. God says, For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God says, I wish my people had counsel. And God's heart cry, he said, is they're void of wisdom. Now, I've heard some pastors teach against counsel. And they're like, oh, I don't counsel my members. If you can't get enough direction for your life from the pulpit and what I'm preaching, then you aren't going to get it at all. Okay, I'm not that way. When I was in Bible college, before I took my first position, I counseled with men that had been in the ministry longer than me and loved the Lord and didn't have anything to gain other than they wanted me to do something for the Lord. I got counsel. As a matter of fact, I have gotten counsel on many things, and to this day, as a pastor, I still get counsel from older men of God. I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all. And I don't want just anybody's input. I want godly people's input. God says here, this thing called counsel, you're going to find all the way through your Bible. And it is something God mentions over and over again. You know, I hear people making a major decision. Like a major decision. And I'll just say, hey, did you get to talk to anybody about that? Oh, no, it's just what I feel I ought to do. Really? Anyone can learn from their own mistakes, but a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. Even every good president gets experts or perverts around them, depending on who's president, to get advice from. The last president, Obama, had perverts around him. This president ousted those and put experts. I thought it was amazing how many multimillionaire and billionaires are in there. Do you know how many of his cabinet doesn't even take a salary? Some of them do, but it's amazing how many of his cabinet does not take a salary. And he doesn't take a salary either. He said he wouldn't take a salary. There's examples of kings in the Bible. David had counselors. Every good leader has counselors and people that they consult with. And that's just wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Now let's spend a little time in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. And look at verse number 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm not trying to drum up business for myself, but we had a couple in our church last year. They were getting ready to buy a house, and they said, Pastor, we're looking at this house. Would you go by and look at it for us and pray? And they were praying, and I went by and made the phone call and found out it was a scam. If they'd have followed it through, it would have. Everything out there isn't a scam. I just think it's wonderful when you can have multiple eyes of people, watch this, that love you and that don't have anything to gain other than they love you and they pray for you. You can use me as your pastor. There's other godly people you can get advice from, and it shouldn't be a threat to manhood. I've watched one guy say, well, I don't get counsel from anybody. I've decided I counsel myself. Really? Have you ever looked in the Bible about people who take their own counsel? We'll look at it this morning, but it's negative. It's never a good thing. Where no counsel is, the people fall. So this thing called counsel, getting advice, getting direction on your life from godly sources, obviously, look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now here's what you got to be careful of in this day and age we live in. People say, oh, I get counsel, and what they're talking about is this. They go around and find somebody that's agreeing with them. And I talk to people about what I'm going through until I find somebody to agree with me on what I want to do. That's not counsel. And they'll say, see, I'm getting a multitude of counselors. You're looking for a support group. You can get that on Facebook. You can get it on Instagram. You can get it on any social media. I'm just telling you, that's not counsel. True counsel is this. Now, sometimes people ask me for, you know, as a pastor, I learn setup questions, you know. I have to be careful about even what I say. And by the way, I try not to shoot my mouth off. There are some things I'm saying that the people can't handle. Their Christianity won't handle it. And I'm not trying to destroy people as much as I'd like to be able to help them grow so that one day they could handle the right answer. So sometimes I'll soften. I don't lie to them. And sometimes I'll just avoid the question because they can't handle it. It's too much. And they could not handle a rebuke. They're not strong enough. And so that's up to me to determine that. You say, well, you ought to be blessed, God, telling the truth to everybody that asks you. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. And if God brought you to our church, I think God brought you here to grow you. God's growing two people in this church, you and me. I'm not a finished product either. Do you understand? And I love the old statement, we grow the sheep. Pastors grow the sheep while the sheep grow us. It's a two-way street. I'm not a finished product. Amen? Counsel here, being careful about, I've seen this verse miss. I think getting a multitude of counselors means this. You get a counsel in the area of your friendships. You get a counselor, somebody, it's somebody that's accountable to, you're accountable to. In the area of entertainment, you have a counselor for your finances. You have a counselor for your family. And in different areas of your life, you have somebody that you ask. For instance, that's why I wanted to make Dr. Russell Anderson available to everybody here. He could be a counselor to you in the area of what? Finances. Well, he doesn't know my finances. He doesn't know it. He could if you laid it out for him and if you're truthful with him. Show him your budget. Show him how you spend your money. If you can handle the answer.
Well, I don't need anybody telling me what to do.
Okay, that's fine. Then don't do it. But he could be a counselor in one area. He could be one of the multitude of counselors, being a godly man, being a soul winner. Proverbs 24, verse 6. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in, once again, here's that phrase, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. What's a war? A war is a major undertaking. It involves money, it involves supplies, logistics, and getting things to people. War is a major, before you take on a major undertaking. Well, we just thought we would sell our house and buy three more and then go into the rental business. And then, well, if you don't do it right, you know, people have lost their shirt. I wouldn't just do that because you read something on the internet or you watched a YouTube video. I would highly suggest you get counsel. And I'd talk to people that are in the realty business. And I wouldn't just talk to anybody. I'd talk to Christian people that are in the realty business. I told you, everybody that is in a good leadership role always uses counselors. And I gave you Ezra 7:14 there, Daniel 3:24 in your lesson, and 1 Chronicles 27:33. I'm not going to look at those this morning, but all of those are instances in your Bible where the king had counselors. David had counselors. Even heathen kings in Persia had counselors, and the wisdom of getting more input. Sometimes I'm so close to the forest, I can't see the trees. I'm in the midst, and I can't see the overview. So I need somebody's help that isn't in the same bind. Do you understand? That's counsel. That's getting counsel, and even the world understands that. Take your Bible and go to, let's stay in Proverbs just for a second, Proverbs 28. And look at verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's a strong verse. That means this. God teaches us in His Word, if you find somebody that's not willing to accept counsel or get help, I don't care if it's on a business. God says, well, I just, you know, if you're one of those that this verse is referring to, I just do what I feels right, you know, and then I go in that direction. Really, without asking anybody. God says that's the actions of a fool. That's strong words. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. I think counsel is something that should be in every Christian's toolbox. For you spent that much money, why didn't you get some counsel? Many times your heart lies to you. And you want something so badly, that's all you see. And you need somebody that isn't in the mix that can say, have you considered this and this and this? See, as a pastor, it's very important that you understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. I don't tell you decisions to make. If you come to me for counsel, I'll give you Bible principles and I'll say the Bible says this, but I don't tell you how to live your life. There's a difference. In other words, I'm not looking to control you. But if you come to me and you say, preacher, I have a question about this. What does God say about this? Or we're having a conflict in this area. I'll give you Bible principles, but I don't make the decision for you. That's your job. There's a difference. I'm not looking to control your home life. I'm not looking to run your business. Although I do know this, if your business is going to prosper, you better do it God's way. And if you don't know how to do it, that's where counsel can come in. But I'm not trying to, I don't make people's decisions for them. They can say, and I have many questions that will be asked this way, preacher, I'm conflicted here and here and this. What is your slant on it? What would you say? Is there anything that the Bible says? And yeah, that's my job as a pastor. I counsel you, or I'll say, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says this. And sometimes I might say this. If you ask me too much on the spot, I might say, that's a good question. Let me look it up. In a couple of days, I'll get back with you. And I'll look at what the Bible says. That's why if I didn't know the Bible, I'd get to somebody that did. Do you understand? And if I don't know the answer, I don't know everything about the Bible. But if I don't know the answer, I'll look it up. And watch this. If it's a really, I had one really hairy question dealing with incest and things like that. I had not dealt with that before. I called an older pastor. Said, dealing with a situation with incest and this is what happened and this. To me, I needed counsel. Do you understand? Before I gave counsel. How do you handle this and hurt as few people as possible and yet still let justice be done? You understand? And don't hinder justice. I mean, some things get complicated real quick. And so counsel is very important depending upon how complicated it is. Look at Jeremiah 17. Look at verse number 5. Ready? It says, this is another strong verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's why I told you, anytime I ever find somebody that says, oh, I just do what I want to do, or I just, you know, here's something's funny. You know, well, God opened this door for business for me, but it takes them totally out of church. But they're going to say the Lord opened that door. I said, and that somebody wanted to ask me about that. Well, see, look at the opportunities the Lord has. I said, if the Lord makes an opportunity available to you, it will never violate biblical principles. Church is a biblical principle. And I said, God will never lead you to do something that will hinder you attending church. You understand? So that's very important. That's very important. Somebody will say, oh, but I can make so much money doing this. Look at, the devil can do a lot of that. He is the small g god of this world. He is the one who has dominion since Adam blew it in the garden. But it is amazing to me what people will do for money, and then they'll, what? But God did this. No, God doesn't do anything against His Word, ever. I do know that. That's a safe statement. God will never lead you out of church. God will never lead you away from His Word. God leads you to His Word. Do you understand? So that's the day and age we live in. So you're Jeremiah 17:5. How come this is so important? I think verse 9 ought to be marked to you. You ought to have verse 9 marked in your Bible. Look at this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My heart. Let's just talk about my heart. Okay, let's not talk about your heart. Let's talk about my heart. God says, my heart desperately craves wickedness. It's desperate for it. You ever seen somebody desperate for a drink of water? I gotta have it. God says, that's a description of my heart. It's desperately wicked. That's why when somebody says, well, I guide my own life, I do what, your heart will lie to you. And your heart, excuse me, let's not talk about your heart. Let's talk about my heart. My heart will lie to me, and my heart is desperately wicked. That's why God says, if you trust your heart, and all these songs that say, just follow your heart and your feelings. That is so secular. That is so secular. The Christian way is exactly opposite that. Better be real careful about anything your heart tells you to do. Because it will lie to you, and it's desperate. If you understand that, then what? Then I don't want to do what I feel inclined to do. I want to get counsel. I want wisdom. I want what the Bible says. Okay, now that we've looked at that, I'll give you a few references there, and you know what? We're kind of running out of time. I'd like you to go to Isaiah. Go back one book, okay? I give you some verses there in the Bible study on people who take their own counsel. Well, while you go to Isaiah, I'm going to read to you Job 18. You go to Isaiah chapter 30. But Job 18 says, the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. You're going to Isaiah 30, but Psalm 5:10 says, destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels, cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. Psalm 81 says, so I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Jeremiah 7:24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart. Every time I look up in the Bible, over and over and over, somebody taking their own counsel, it is always a negative and it is always downward. It's never for their spiritual benefit. It is always for their spiritual decline. You're in Isaiah chapter 30. Watch this. Look at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Everybody gets counsel. Everybody in this room gets counsel. By the music you listen to, God designed music to admonish or teach you. And when the song's done playing, you were taught something. And normally, it was repetitively ingrained into your subconscious. They said it over and over and over again. Everybody in this room gets counsel by the music you listen to and the movies you sit down to watch. When you enter that director's world, you get his world view on living life. Are you supposed to live it with or without God? The music, the movies, what you read, everybody in this room gets counsel. What I have to be, that's how come, here we go, I'm going to make a strong statement. I don't read books by men that aren't soul winners. I don't read any books that aren't King James. I don't read any books by anybody that doesn't go soul winning. I don't read books by people that aren't pastors. The only one I have in my office, a few, I have some Protestant, and I know John R. Rice. Bless his heart, he's in heaven now. He knows he was wrong. He wishes he wouldn't have corrected the Bible. I have a lot of John R. Rice books. I like a lot of them, okay? But I like reading Ironside, okay, from the 50s. He's got some pretty solid stuff. There's some others, but I'm just saying, you better be careful about what you're reading. You say, why? Because they're counseling you. And there is counsel available out there that is not pleasing to the Lord. God says they get counsel, but it's not of me. And somebody is guiding their thinking or their decision-making process, but it's not scriptural. So they are getting counsel. It's just not called counsel. It's called entertainment. So through the entertainment industry, then their thinking is guided. Let's look at 1 Kings. Can you go there? We're staying kind of in the Old Testament a little bit. 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 12. There's things in the Bible that you can draw truth from that will protect you. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 3. It says that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Here's what's happened. There's a reason Solomon was the richest man that the world has ever known. There's never been a King Solomon, somebody as rich as Solomon, before Solomon or after. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth, period. There's a reason he taxed the fire out of the people. When he dies, Rehoboam, his son, the people are saying, could you please lower the taxes? If you'll lower the taxes, your dad was, oh my goodness, he's killing us. Could you please lower the taxes? Verse number 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then will they be thy servants forever. But look at verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. So guess how the northern 10 tribes of Israel and the southern 2 tribes of Judah got split and had a revolt? Because Rehoboam took his peers' counsel. The old men said, your dad was hard. If you'll serve these people and lower the taxes, these people, they'll serve you forever. But the young men said, raise the taxes. Raise the tax. We need more money. We could get more money. And so guess what? He did. The people revolted. And you have the story of Israel, 10 tribes, and Judah. What split the kingdom? Some stupid young punk listened to his peers. What's the moral of the story? 1 Kings chapter 12 teaches this. This is for everybody. And this is easy counsel for every person in this room to give. Don't ever get counsel from people that are your age. Get counsel from the older people. But how did he split the kingdom? He went to the young who wanted to party, who wanted to live it up. And then he split. And the kingdom never recovers from this. Getting counsel, that's why I tell the teenagers, what are you doing? What'd you do that for? Well, we were all talking and we decided, yeah, that's where you went stupid. You ought to get a trophy for that one. Stupid of the year for that one. And it always comes when they sit down and they start talking about it with each other. Don't get counsel or what should we do from your peers. Get it from people that are older. That's how come in a church like ours, the young people have access to a lot of wisdom with the older people that are in our church. I didn't say every older person is wise. I just said if the young, that's God's plan, that the young learn from the older. And even if they didn't have a good marriage, I'm sure somebody who's been divorced could say, there are some things you ought not to do. Because been there, did that, I know how it turns out. I wouldn't do that. That'll hurt you. That's wisdom that is supposed to be given from the older to the younger. To the younger. Don't do as I did. Or there are some people that can say, if you want it to turn out right, this is what you do. You know, when I got married, I asked all the older men in the church, hey, what advice would you give me as a young man? I'll never forget what Gene Johnson told me. He said, tell her every day you love her. He said, just tell her every day. His wife had already died and gone to heaven. They'd been married, I think it was over 50 years. I wanted that advice from that old man. That was counsel. That was good. What would you tell a young, dumb idiot that's Twitter painted. Okay, what would you tell him? Tell her every day you love her. Tell her every day. He said, never leave the house without kissing your wife. Just never do it. If you'll do that, they say men work safer on the job when they kiss their wife before they leave the house, because they think about her all day long. You're safer. You don't do stupid stuff. Here, this is a, watch this. Now let's go to Psalm 1. Let's end this with Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. First chapter in the Bible. I'm sorry, first chapter in Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. There's a lot in the Bible about this topic. I'm just touching the hem of the garment this morning. Who is a wise person that you should get counsel from? Why would you get counsel from somebody that doesn't go soul winning? I'm amazed at that. He that winneth souls is wise. Why would you get counsel on your life from somebody that's not faithful to church? I've had a lot of family members offer me counsel on rearing my kids. You know, we didn't have a TV. One of my family members pulled me aside. You know, I have great respect for them. They pulled me aside and said, "Now listen here. You're sheltering your kids too much. You're gonna hurt them." And you need to let him watch TV, and you need to. He was giving me all types of counsel. He didn't go to church. He didn't hate God. He just didn't read his Bible. And no, I didn't listen to his counsel. But he pulled me aside, and he had quite a few things to say. He was really upset that my kids didn't have a TV, you know. And so he was going to give me the down the road. That's fine. I don't want to raise kids like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that type of counsel. You say, that's family. I know. In other words, who's wise? Look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So who is the ungodly, sinners, and scornful? God says, first of all, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It doesn't say counsel of the wicked. This isn't talking about people that are pedophiles and are druggies and yada. This is, says ungodly. Look up the word ungodly all through your Bible. Ungodly means without God. In other words, they don't hate God. God just doesn't fit into their life. They're ungodly. God is not a priority. Blessed is the man who doesn't get counsel from people who are ungodly. Christian, if I could scream anything from the top of my lungs, it would be, please watch who you get advice from. Well, they're not drinking liquor. Oh, they're ungodly people. God just doesn't. They're the typical American. I know Christians that are ungodly. Typical American Christianity is all self-serving. It's not convenient for me. God just doesn't. I love God. I know that. I just ain't got time for Him. It's ungodly. God doesn't fit into my plans. I don't adjust my plans for God. If God wants in my life, He needs to fit in where I can fit Him in. I don't make adjustments. Christian, don't get counsel from people like that. I didn't say be rude to them or be curt or catty or nothing like that with them. But my goodness, why would you let them guide your life? One day when you retire, you ought to get you an RV. Just go across this great country and see America. You going to go to church while you're retired? Well, maybe 10 or 12 years after we come back home. Really? Do you know how many I've heard? I've heard that about 6 times. So you're just going to just get in it and go. And stop at the gas station and fill it up. But church has nothing to do with it. Who gave you that counsel? Well, that's the way the guys talk at work. You're going to retire in one day. I'm all for you. See, my goodness, if you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, go to the Grand Canyon. You know, go see this country. It is a beautiful nation. God has blessed us. But I think you can be a Christian and be in church and do both. Amen? You don't have to forsake God to do. Be blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I'll just give you a few starter points, then we need to go. If you're not soul winning and if you're not faithful to church and if you don't love your Bible, then why would I listen to you tell me what I ought to be doing in my life? God bless you. And if you need help, I'll help you. I'm talking to you about how you can talk to other people. I'll help you. And man, if your car's stuck, man, I'll help you. But my goodness, I'm not going to accept your counsel for my life from an ungodly person. I hope this is a help to you. Counsel, it's all through your Bible. It is so much in your Bible. It is a subject that does not need to be neglected by any Christian.